Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Fireball Hot Take Friday. We got a loaded show, a lot of football to get to. We will be following along as Ty Simpson will announce his commitment. It's either Tennessee, it's Alabama, or it's Clemson. I'm not expecting it to be Tennessee, but we will be following it along. I think the story today is not, if it's not Tennessee, wow, they lost a local kid right in their backyard. Josh Heupel can't recruit. That's not the story. I think the story is if Josh Heupel gets him, then I think it's a story. Then I think we say, you know what? Maybe we were wrong for saying that they should hire Gus Malzahn over Josh Heupel because he just got what looks to be, and you know how I feel, Ian, you know how I feel about recruiting in college football. Do that on your own time. It's like hockey prospects in Sweden. I mean, come on now. But this seems like one of those franchise quarterbacks. I mean, I remember when Louisville got Teddy Bridgewater and it felt like they had recruited a franchise quarterback. You know what I mean when I say franchise quarterback in college football. So we'll get to that. We'll see if he picks the balls. I think he's going to pick Alabama. I'd pick Clemson. That's neither here nor there. The Predators last night. And I think the one thing that I can appreciate is the fact that, at least in my lifetime, I have been blessed with many things. Some things, you know, whether it's being outgoing, whether it's, you know, I feel like I have really good relationships with a lot of people in my life. You know, I was afforded an excellent education as a kid. I was lucky enough to be a part of a basketball program and an athletic department at Louisville that really helped me grow. I've had great opportunities. I love the job I have now. But the one thing that I feel like I've always been able to do is I always have kind of been able to take my fandom aside at times and try to look at things objectively. You know, it's like Warren Buffett says, don't fall in love with a stock because the stock's not going to fall in love with you. It's going to go up or it's going to go down. And if you fell in love with it thinking it'd go up and it's going down and it looks like it's not going to go up, you got to cut bait. You got to move on. I look at the Predators and I understand how they feel. I understand how the team feels. I understand how the general manager feels. I understand how the players feel. I understand how the coach feels. This week, there was a lot of talk this weekend nationally in hockey circles about the Predators selling. Elliot Friedman had the report that said they're not there yet, but if they are, Yossi, Ellis, and Pekka are off the table. Everybody else is on it. Pierre LeBrun in The Athletic wrote a piece about here are the most logical trade fits for Mattias Ekholm. Adam Dingin wrote an article last week. Here are the five Predators who, if they decide to sell, here are the five guys that are most likely to go. I watched last night's game. I listened to all the talk leading into the week. I asked Pekka the questions on Monday about those reports about tearing it down. How does he feel? David Poile was on the midday show. He talked about not being ready to throw in the towel on Tuesday. This was before the two games against Detroit. He said he was not ready to give up on the season. Take a listen. We'll get to that in a second. My thing is this. I said at the beginning of the week, I needed four in a row. I needed four in a row. That's what I needed. And I was listening to Pekka. I was listening to David Poile. Those guys were convinced, hey, we can still turn ourselves out of this. We can still get out of this. We can still this or that. And I said, okay, give me four in a row. And I know that's ridiculous in the NHL. I saw somebody tweet yesterday. And people tweet a lot of stuff, especially the nobodies out there. It's like, the Predators should never, ever be trailing Detroit, ever. Like, dude, this is pro sports. Like, even the 0-16 Cleveland Browns went toe-to-toe with the Titans, who made the playoffs one year, and that game went to overtime. I mean, look, it's pro sports. So you're going to lose some games. But you can't dig yourself the hole the Predators dug themselves in and then not have to face the consequences on the backside, not put yourself in a position to where, okay, now we have to win four in a row. You want to keep the team together? You got to win four in a row. That's the way I approach it this week. You want to not have to go into sell mode? You got to win four in a row. You got to show me something. that this team has it in them, that this team actually has the ability to be competing throughout the course of the year, that it's not always going to be one step forward, one step back. They won the other night. Pekka was fantastic. They got timely goal scoring on the power play. They won 2-0. Good. One down, three to go. Last night, they got their butts beat. It was a good game at times, but Detroit's not a very good team. And the truth is, I've now seen the Predators play Detroit four times in the last 2-3 weeks. And I'm just going to tell you, if they played in a seven-game series, and this is Detroit, who is one of the worst, if not the worst, team in the NHL. If they played the Predators in a seven-game series, I think it would go to Game 7. And it just depends which game the Predators won, or it just depends on who won Game 1. If the Predators won Game 1, then they'd probably win Game 7. If they lost Game 1, they'd probably lose Game 7. Because they win one, they lose one. They win one, they lose one. They win one, they lose one. Then they play a really good team like Tampa, they lose two. Guys, we have been very fortunate to have good hockey for about the last 6 or 7 years around here. And if you really want to take out those 2 years, the lockout year of 2013 and the following year of 2014, where they almost made the playoffs, I mean, you're talking about a decade of good hockey. We know what good hockey is. What we're watching right now is not it. Their offense is inept. The only way they can win a game is if Pekka Rinne wins it for them. That's literally the only way. Last night, down by a goal late, I said to myself, okay, let's see if this team is going to pull up their pants and say, okay, I'm the guy who's going to keep us from losing this game to Detroit that we shouldn't lose, that we need to win. And it didn't happen. If anything, Mikhail Granlund takes the puck into the corner, and I know he probably got tripped, but stay on your skates, use your body to box the guy out to create space. He doesn't. He loses the puck. Detroit gets a 3-on-2. Here's Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi, about $15 million worth of defensemen on a 3-on-2. And they don't poke, check, or do anything. They put the puck on the net, bounces off of Pekka's shoulders, follow up, end, game over. Predators are what they are, man. Like, I think it's now time for us to look at the team and look at the organization and where they're going and who's doing it and who's... I think it's time for all of that. And I hate saying that because I'm just like you guys. I've talked about all the things I've been blessed with. When we started this radio show, when Floyd and I started it with the Jared and the GM program, there were people who said this show would not make it 6 months. We had incredibly, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. We were incredibly popular right off the jump. Why? Because Predators went to the Stanley Cup final. We were the drive time afternoon show of the team, of the flagship station of the team. They won the President's Trophy the next year. We did things everybody thought was impossible. In fact, had they beaten Winnipeg in that series, there's probably something Floyd and I would have done that would have been incredibly newsworthy. And it's all, I mean, I don't take that for granted. I mean, I've told Peter Laviolette that before, that his success has helped my career. Their success helps my career. But I also think that we've got to be honest about the team. If we're going to truly cover the team the way we should cover the team, I think we have to be honest. For me, I heard their calls earlier in the week. Again, give us time, give us time, give us time. I said all week, give me 4 in a row. They lost last night. I don't see the answers anywhere. I don't feel like they have the answers. This was David Poile on Tuesday talking about giving the team some time to turn it around.
You know, again, I'm not giving up on this season. I mean, hope springs eternal. Our game against Columbus on Saturday night was our best game of the year. It really felt like we were a team for maybe for the first time. It was exciting, entertaining to watch. Players were skating, players were passing the puck, making plays, and all the ingredients of a very competitive team. Now, having said that, we're playing in Detroit tonight and Thursday, and again, every game is important. But you know, we've got a chance to climb back into this playoff race by having a couple of good games against Detroit tonight and Thursday. So, you're always adapting, adjusting, I guess you would say, to the situation, and it's it's been a hard year, and I guess I would just like to continue to buy a little bit more time and see if the game that we played on Saturday night is similar to the game that we played tonight.
And it really wasn't, and it definitely wasn't last night. David talks about wanting to buy more time. You guys can give it more time if you want. I mean, and I'm going to the game tomorrow. I'm going to watch every game the rest of the way. But for me, just ever believing that this team is really going to turn it from point A to point B when they really haven't played consistent hockey since, you know, Thanksgiving of 2018, it's hard for me to go there. And I'm at a point now where, I mean, that what you saw last night is what you are. Offensively inept, defensively slow and not reactive to the puck, not what you were when you had those four solid defensemen in 2017. I mean, not even close. I mean, you're over-reliant on a 38-year-old goalie who, if he doesn't give you a good game every time out, you can't win. I mean, that's – and what are the options? You know, like what – a couple of years ago, we were happy with the way the Predators were playing. And so we said, what are the options? And, let's try to work on the power play. Let's get Brian Boyle and Wayne Simmonds to get in front of the net, okay? Then it was like, let's get more offense. Let's ship off P.K. Subban. Let's bring in Matt Duchene for more offense, okay? Then it was, you know, let's bring in this power play coach, Dan Lambert. Let's put him on the bench. Let's see if that'll help. Okay. Let's fire Peter Laviolette. Let's see if that'll help. Let's bring in John Hines. Okay. Let's get rid of the guys on the team last year. You know, let's trim the fat. You know, the Austin Watsons, the Craig Smiths. Let's get rid of those guys and let's, I mean, yeah, like we're all watching the same thing right now. And I just don't foresee it improving to the point that it would make a difference for this season. And that there's David saying, I'd like to buy more time. I mean, we're entering March. The trade deadline is in April. But as David himself even said on the midday show, the idea of trading at the trade deadline is crazy because you have to quarantine for 14 days if you're going to a Canadian team. And it's going to be so hard to do all these things that deals are going to have to get made sooner rather than later. I mean, to me, you guys can do whatever you want. Everybody is entitled to their opinion. I have felt this way in the back of my head since probably February or late January of last year. That the window is shut, that it is what it is. And last night was the icing on the cake. You know, last night was the night where, you know, if they were going to show us that they were going to do it, and they didn't do it. And at some point, you know, if you're a GM, if you're an owner, you got to say, hey, man, we're not going in the right direction. This isn't going to change. So we've got to change. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Your reaction to another debilitating Preds loss last night. A tough one. And whether or not, I mean, I just don't know how you see them getting any better at this point. So they can say the same things after press conferences that they've said every time they lose. They can do all of that, but it's hard for me to look at this right now and feel like there's any way that you can pretend like it's going in the right direction or that it may go in the right direction. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Breaking news, Ty Simpson has committed to Alabama. So I know that, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to be really upset about that. Again, if you had a kid who was one of the best quarterbacks around, would you be mad if he went to Alabama? So we'll get into more of that. Coming up next, though, I talked last week when it felt like everything was coming to a head with the Predators. I talked last week about if I owned the team. And I said, hey, if I owned the team, I wouldn't fire David Poile because I promised through the end of the year. There is something about last night's game that if I own the team, probably changed my thought process a little bit. And I want to get to that coming up next. But I also want your reaction to the Predators game last night. 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're live from the Old Sonic Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
I don't want to be a cliche or to use a cliche, but they often say that you change a coach because you can't or it doesn't make sense to change 20 players. Our team is way better than it's performed this year, but we have obviously some team concepts, systems that aren't working as effective as they should, and we also have some individuals that are playing way below their level of potential or the expectations that we have.
That was David Boyle when he decided to make the change at coach and go to John Hines, and I'm just not convinced that I've seen much of a change from that moment. And last night, I thought last night was somewhat the icing on the cake. You know, Detroit is, they're bad. I mean, they are really bad. And the Predators, I mean, they're right there with them. I mean, that's where the Predators have 16 points. The Red Wings have 15 points. I mean, that's where we are. That's where it is right now. So I said last week that if I owned a hockey club and if I were in the position of kind of being able to do whatever I wanted to do. Now, anytime you own a team, like, yeah, you own the team, but it's also the people's team. I mean, it's the fans' team as much as it is the owners. They just make money off of it. We don't. But if I owned the team, I said last week, hey, after the Arizona series, I said David should get a year. And then if we don't like the direction of the team after a year, then it would be time to probably make some sort of a change. And I don't want to sound like I'm flip-flopping and saying, well, now that they lost one game to Detroit between now and last Friday, I've completely changed my mind. But there is kind of, I feel like for everybody, a line, you know, a moment of truth. I've never been married, so I've never been divorced. But I'm sure there's a moment where you were hoping that your relationship was going to turn around. But then there's a point where you just, you know. And if I owned the team, a texter texts into the text line on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. And our text line is delivered by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And he says, where do the Preds go from here? And that's a big question for me. Because, again, I can only tell you where I would go if I owned the team. Where I think they should go, which is if I owned the team, I would be looking outside of the organization right now. I would be very, very quiet, very quiet. And I would be asking around about, okay, if I were to take this operation into another direction, another leadership direction, i.e. at the end of the year, if I were to essentially part ways, graciously, for sure, with respect, for David Poile, but if I were to move on from David Poile, who should I go hire? Just like when Steve Underwood, the former president of the Titans, called Floyd and said, hey, who should we hire? And Floyd said, you should hire John Robinson. That's probably the route I would be going, is I would be talking to people, you know, people that I trust that know the league. And I'll be completely frank with you right now. If I was thrusted into that position, I'm not sure who I would go outside to and say, you know, hey, who's out there who can help me? I mean, I have a pretty good idea of where I would go. But, I mean, you got to be really on the down low because you don't want David Poile to know, hey, you're actively looking to replace him while you still want him to do his job. But that would probably be the route I would go. I just think that, you know, John Hines came in here. You know, you heard that David clip right there where John Hines was brought in. The way that we viewed it, the way that they sold it when they made the coaching change was the idea of, okay, we're going to make a change because we can't fire the players and the players aren't playing well enough, but we think we have a good team. So we're going to bring in a new coach to change things up and hopefully get our team to reach their potential. But if anything, it feels like the team has gone in the opposite direction. if that makes any sense. Like where they were when they made that change, it doesn't feel like they're even at that level right now. So that's just me. I would be looking outside of the organization right now. And again, you've got to be so, quiet about how you do it. But I would be thinking in my head, this is if I own the team. I have no idea what the people who do own the team think. They may think the exact opposite of me. They may think that this team can still win. But I would be thinking, okay, I'm going to be armed with a top pick in next year's draft, hopefully. Maybe some more picks that will come my way because, in about a week, I'm calling David into the office to say, hey, we're going to be sellers and we need to start selling. And I would start preparing for what that kind of off-season transition is going to be like. And again, this would be within a very small circle of people that would know. Because I'm not having it get out. I'm not having it leak that, hey, we're going to make a move. I'm not doing that. But I do think that the clock kind of feels up on this team. I mean, I came into the season, I think we remember this, before the season started, and Mark Howard was doing the show with me, and I said, hey, I have no expectations for this season. I have no expectations. I want to see, I want to see if the core players that we look at and get mad about, let's see if they're actually as good as we originally thought or maybe not as bad as we're thinking right now. I wanted to see the young kids like Tolvanen and Tomasino play, see if they were in Fabro and see if they were any good. I wanted to see, hey, can John Hines coach? Because there were a lot of people who were selling to me, hey, this guy's a great coach. Well, I want to see it. And so I went into the season not thinking about the playoffs or not thinking about the Stanley Cup or not thinking about just saying, hey, no expectations. Let's see how it goes. And right now, the seeing how it goes is they're probably one of the worst teams in the league. Or at least they are incredibly competitive with one of the worst teams in the league. What do you do? And so for me, if I own the team, I mean, I think I'd be at the point now where I've tried everything. After the President's Trophy, I've literally tried everything. I've dealt my prospects to get some players. I've dealt young guys like Sam Girard and Kevin Fiala. I've dealt picks for guys like Ryan Hartman. I mean, we went for it. We didn't get it. Then my second thought is, okay, after that, we dealt more assets for more guys like Brian Boyle and Wayne Simmonds. We brought in Matt Duchesne. We fired our coach who had put up, banners in three consecutive seasons. We brought on some new guys this year. I mean, we switched the goalies. Now we switched it back. Like what? We've switched the coaches. We've switched the assistant coach. I mean, what is there left to do? We've done all this switching, all trying to get back to what this team was in 2017, 2018. And right now, they're one of the worst teams in the league. Or again, as I should say, I can't tell you if they're one of the worst teams in the league. This is one of these weird years where it's like hard to compare the, 16 points in this division compared to what it would be like, say, in the West division where 16 would be last place. But I mean, you're one of the worst teams in the league right now. So, done all the changing, what's left? And that's where I would sit if I owned this team. That's how I would feel about it. And so, again, I wouldn't be making anything in season. I wouldn't even fire the coach in season. Although, we'll get to him in a little bit. I just lost the confidence. The ability to believe that, okay, if we trust them to make one or two moves, it's going to work. Because the moves just haven't worked. And if I owned the team, I would feel comfortable about having given them every opportunity to prove that they can fix the team. And now the credit card bill is due. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I see your text just lining up in the text line. It is your day. It is a Fireball Hot Take Friday. So we will get to those texts coming up next. Stillman and Company right here. Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
DeKaiser on the left wing. Put it down behind the net. Gagne on his backhand turning. Forehand, he scores. He banked this one in off the stick of Pecorine. His second goal of the night. And the Red Wings have a 3-2 lead. The shot goes off the shoulder of Rene, and they jab the rebound into the net. Detroit takes a two-goal lead.
Looked like Rene made the initial save. Puck goes up in the air, bounces around a little bit. It looks like Ernie's going to get credit for the goal.
And that has not been an easily attainable target for them. And now they go to the empty net with 3:04 remaining to take a three-goal lead.
That was pretty much the game last night. All encapsulated. Three unanswered goals for the Red Wings. Bad. I promised your phones, texters to the text line. Said, after last night's game, I thought David Poile was going to fire John Hines upon landing back in Nashville and go after Gerard Gallant. Let me say this. That, by the way, is a fireball hot take. I mean, is David Poile really in the position to be firing a coach? And I mean that, again, going back to the idea that the one thing that bothers me about the rumor that's out there that Joe Rexroad wrote about, that Elliot Friedman said, that is that, hey, Poile wants to see his way out of this. He wants to work his way out of the mess the Predators are in, which is great because I think anybody would want to work their way out of the mess that they've created. But the difference is here is how many times do you get to risk something, fail, and then keep doing it, right? And I like John Hines, the guy. I do. To the texter's point. I like John Hines. He's a nice guy. He really, I mean, he has tried to, given the circumstances of the pandemic, which he took over, got right to work, and then the pandemic hit, and it's not like he can go around town, you know, kissing babies during the middle of a pandemic. And that was obviously back when everything was really shut down. Hines is a good guy. I'm not sold Hines is a good coach. I'm also not sold that Hines is the right coach for this team. And I'm not sure that his offense, for me, I'm not sure his, I mean, this offense is pathetic. I mean, it's bad. I mean, it gets me worked up watching this game. How it's like the Predators can't even complete a simple pass to one another. If Forsberg doesn't do it on offense, it's like nobody's going to do it. Now, at least the power play looks to be getting figured out a little bit. But, I mean, they can't pass. They can't take the puck behind the net. They can't draw a goalie's eyes. They can't do anything on offense. And you've got Roman Josi and Ryan L. I mean, where the hell are they on offense? I understand, hey, you know what? Let's not have the defense be, the you know, trying to lead the attack all the time. But at least give the puck to the guys who are the best players on your team. So I'm not a huge believer in Hines. I wasn't when they hired Hines. I certainly felt like I gave him a chance. And so I just don't know if David Poyle's in the position to be firing a coach. You know, I just don't know if David Poile, how does that look when it's like, hey, I took this risk. I fired Peter Laviolette, who had put up three banners in three consecutive seasons, 2017, 2018, 2019. There were banners up in the arena. And then at the beginning of 2020, I fired him to bring in this guy to fix it. And not only is this guy not fixed it, but now we're one of the worst teams in the league. And so let me fire him, pay him for the rest of this year and pay him for next year. And now let me go hire another coach. That being said, and again, I like John Hines a lot as a guy. I do think that if you were of the belief that this season was savable in that sport, that's probably the move that you would make. If you were looking at this season saying, hey, we are better than our results. We need to make the playoffs. We need to, if you, and I, you know, I'm not sure the talent on the roster gets you into the playoffs, even if Scotty Bowman is the coach. And I also don't, I mean, what is eking it into the playoffs to get drilled by Tampa Bay? What does that really accomplish this year? So that's why, I mean, I would not fire John Hines right now if I own this team. But I do think, hey, if you're one of the people that believes this season can be turned around, then that's probably in that sport. I mean, hockey is the sport where, hey, where things aren't going well, fire the coach. That is this sport. It is the most like it of any of the main four sports. Baseball is probably the least. Basketball is probably more about whether or not the players like you. And then football is probably second. But football, you have such a large coaching staff that it's like firing the coach in the middle of the season is just wild in football. But in hockey, I mean, that is a go-to-it thing. Fire the coach in the middle of the season. Name somebody on the staff who's been a head coach before as the interim coach, or do what the Predators did last year and just go hire another coach and put him behind the bench. And that's what they do in that sport. Texter into the text line asked the question about Claude Julien, saying, my fireball hot take is Claude Julien will be the next head coach of the Nashville Predators. Now, I've covered Claude Julien. When I was kind of a rookie in all of this, Claude was the head coach of the Bruins, and I covered the Bruins when I was in New Hampshire. Claude was the coach. Great guy. I mean, I love Claude Julien. I do not like Claude Julien for this team, and here's why. I think Claude probably plays a system closer to what we're seeing with John Hines, which is the defensemen are going to shoot from the point, but they're not going to be very active. And I think Claude, you know, the way I would describe it best is with those defensemen in Boston and now, and I guess in Montreal, get back, get back, get back. Everybody get back. Get back. Get back, everybody. Get back in your own zone. Claude's a good guy. Claude's a good coach. I would not hire Claude for this team where the one constant is your best player all around is Roman Josi. I mean, this is a team right now where Cale Yarncroke is one of the best and most consistent forwards on the team. I would also say, on the Hines front, one thing I've already said, one thing that bothers me about Hines is the fact that he was brought in to do a job. And it's not fair to evaluate a guy in his position when he's had such little time and so many different issues that are completely out of his control. But he was brought in to take a team that was struggling around, you know, the playoff line of demarcation and make them back into a cup contender. And he's really done the exact opposite. And so we can sugarcoat it all we want about how unfair the circumstances have been for Hines. And we can point to, is it really Hines' fault? Which I think is a very valid question. But the job he was hired to do so far has not gotten done. I mean, yesterday's loss was a big one for me. I mean, I was not kidding when I said all week, hey, I need four in a row. And I know, like, you know, Hal Gill likes to come on and laugh and be like, oh, you know, you just say all that. Like, yes, to me, four in a row, like, that was a, you know, that was kind of a big one. And I don't want to get into the whole game of who should be the next coach because I think it's probably bigger than coach. Like, it's a bigger discussion than coach. But certainly, I think it's evident where we are right now. Tom in Nashville texts into the text line. John Hines did this in New Jersey. Ian, who was it? Was it Greg Wyshynski, who we had on last week, who said something along the lines of...
the offense, like, in New Jersey?
Yeah, he was like, I can go on about John Hines all day if you want me to, but I don't think the problem is John Hines. Like, basically, it felt like Wyshynski was saying, and I'm paraphrasing what I felt like he said, my interpretation of it, but it was, Hines is not a good coach, but that's not the problem right now in Nashville.
That might have been. Yeah, Greg is a, Wyshynski, ESPN.com, is a lifelong Devils fan.
Yep.
So he kind of I guess has a rooting interest, I would say. So I think he does have, I don't think he is glowing recommendation of Hines. No, I would agree.
I mean, and again, I like Hines fine. You know, he answers every question that I've ever asked him with respect. And I can appreciate that.
One thing I do think with Hines is right now is he's just not getting good enough goaltending to win on a regular basis from either goalie. And that was the issue when LaViolette got fired. And that has continued to be an issue now. Pekka will play well for a game or two or three in a row. But then to have a game like you had last night where he gave up, I mean, two of those goals. You just cannot give up and
those
expect to
goals.
Win. You can't give those up and expect to win against.
He did not play well. I mean, as much as I've been pumping his tires, thinking that he's the best shot they have, I mean, he has not played well.
And Saros hasn't been consistent enough either. So right now you have no goalies who have shown themselves to be legitimate starters for an extended period of time.
But I'm also going to point the finger at Hines a little bit on that too, right? Like, we know those goalies are not bad. Like, we know they're not bad.
Well, we knew Pekka, you know, sadly with Pekka, it's not just his ability at this point, right?
Yeah, he's old.
So it's hard for him to recover, I think, and stay consistent in a long period of time. And Saros, we were kind of unsure of. And he kind of got some extended time, and we kind of thought maybe he was the future, as I think it was one of his nicknames at one point. But the more and more he's played, the less and less sure we are of that.
It does not look good. And that's one of the other things, is the answers. Like, who has the answers for this? Like, who has the answers? We're to your phones on the Preds. We got a bunch of them. A lot of you all want to get in. We're to your phones on it next. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. 615-737-1025. FanDuel Sportsbook app. That's my sportsbook app, my official sportsbook app. One of the things I love about betting on basketball is I'm always finding new player prop bets or game props that I like. And what I love about the FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine those props with other bets for the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called the same game parlay bet, and you can only find them on FanDuel. Player point total, rebounds, assists, money line, over, under. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same game parlay insurance. You heard that right. Same game parlay insurance every single day. Big games this weekend, like you've got the Clippers and the Grizzlies, the Pacers and the Celtics. And you got the Lakers and the Blazers. So big games to get into. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, and easy to find your bet. When you win, FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Use the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up today using promo code JGM. Again, that is promo code JGM, so they know that we sent you. Must be 21 or older. Present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
This many games into the season, I know it's shortened, and I know you guys haven't had the regular practice and everything else, but how much of this is bad luck versus just bad execution on your guys' part from your perspective?
I think it's more consistency, Paul. Consistency of doing the right things, you know, particularly of you know, the games we do it, and when we're doing it, we have success. But, you know, tonight was one of those games where we got away from it a bit at times, and, you know, we're a team that has to play consistently throughout a game, you know, to be able to have success. And it's not about luck. I think you make your luck by the way that you go about your business.
That was John Hines. And again, the key right there, consistency. And last year, about 3 weeks into his tenure, the team really was struggling. I said, what does this team got to do? And he told me consistency. And it feels like the biggest problem has been consistency. They win a game. This was the best win we had all year, Saturday night at Columbus. And there we go. Not consistent. Guess what? When the team won the President's Trophy, they were very consistent. That I will give you. They were consistent. So the one thing that's tough is we've all seen good hockey and what we're looking at it right now. We've all seen it. We've all experienced it. We all know what it is. And right now, that's not what it is. Now, I am not going to spend 4 hours today just complaining about, you know, I can't do it. So we got a lot to get to today, but I promised phones. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Robert has been waiting patiently, wants to get in on the coaches. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I love hockey, but I don't know all the little ins and outs. So I wanted to ask you, since you really, you know, you know the game pretty well, it seems to me a lot of these coaches, when they get fired, they go somewhere else, and it's just kind of like a reshuffle. So they go somewhere, they coach a while, they get fired, they just go to somewhere else. So who are the hot young names, the people who have not been tossed around the league for the last 10 years, 20 years? Who are the guys that are coming up that could come in and actually coach teams? I'm not even really talking about just the Predators. You seem like you always hear the same names being just tossed around. Where are the young, new, up-and-coming coaches?
So, Robert, I appreciate your call. And I feel like, you know, again, every sport is different. In the NFL, you get one shot, and then if you have a little bit of success and then you go back as a coordinator and have a little bit of success, you're going to get another shot. Like if Mike Vrabel and the Titans, if it were to not work out, you know, Vrabel would probably take a year off, maybe be a defensive coordinator. Maybe he wouldn't even have to be a defensive coordinator, and then he'd get another shot. But if Vrabel screws that up, then he's done, right? Like Jeff Fisher was here, and then Jeff Fisher got a shot with the Rams, and now Jeff Fisher's done. Mike Mularkey got three chances, but that was because of the interim basis and everything else, and he didn't really get a fair shake in Jacksonville, and then you're done. Ken Whisenhunt got two chances, and then you're done. I was a little surprised Mike Munchak didn't get another chance. But in hockey, the way at least it works for me is everybody just gets recycled in that league. I mean, everybody. It's like when Peter got fired here, he had now been fired by the Islanders. He had been fired by the Hurricanes. He had been fired by the Panthers. By the Flyers. He had been fired by the Predators. I mean, he'd been fired by everybody. And 5 minutes later, Peter got a job. And Peter got a good job with the Washington Capitals. I mean, Barry Trotz, you know, was coaching here for forever. He gets fired, gets a job. Then they want to fire him in Washington. He wins the cup. They essentially fire him. I mean, I know they didn't fire him, but they were going to pay him like he was a nobody. And so then Barry's on the market for one day, and now he's got another job. I mean, that's how this league works. I do not know if John Hines will get another job after his tenure with the Predators. I can't. I'm not even going to speculate on that because I don't know. The thing that some of these teams have done lately, I know Philadelphia did it a couple of years ago. I know the Rangers did it a couple of years ago. But they went the route of the college head coach and bringing in the college head coach to coach an NHL team. I am not one of these guys who needs the young up-and-coming guy. I've never been that guy. I just need a good coach. You know, a guy who is a good, solid coach. That's why I liked Mike Mularkey, because you can say whatever you want about him, and the offense was boring. And it, first of all, people didn't like a run-first offense. And then all of a sudden, Mike Mularkey leaves. Mike Vrabel takes over. The offense is terrible. Derrick Henry starts running for 200 yards a game. Now we're all like, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. That's neither here nor there. But as much as you can say that you didn't like Mike Mularkey, I think we can all agree. Mike Mularkey was a good coach, like a good ball coach. You know, stuffs the little plastic thing in his shorts, wears long sleeves in 99-degree heat. You know, baby, let's go. Baby, what do you say now? Like, I think he's a pretty good coach. That's all I want. I just want a good coach who's probably trending more offensively because of how the team seems to be built with their lack of offense. But that's kind of the route I would want to go. Not somebody you have to convince me is a good coach. Somebody who's a good coach. The thing that's crazy is if you were to say, okay, who's the ideal candidate right now to come in and coach Predators? Would it not be Barry Trotz? Like, would he not be the one guy that's like, yeah, who should come in and coach Predators? Oh, Barry Trotz checks every box. Scott is up next here on Stillman and Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, I think Ian kind of told me that you're making way too big a deal out of one game last night. I mean, be honest, that was all.
Well, I mean, this is a 3-year trend, though, Scott.
Well, it's a trend, but I mean, I tell you, I called a couple of weeks ago and was blasting Hines, and you didn't really let me finish my point. But the special teams are steadily improving. They couldn't have gotten any worse. I mean, we started off just so unorganized and terrible that the special teams are definitely improving. There are signs of life there. Last night, Pekka, I mean, he was a leaky window. He needed some caulk or some weather stripping. He did not seal off the pipe. They scored three goals, two where he didn't, you know, just didn't seal off against the pipe like you're taught in juniors, or, you know, he let one under his leg pad.
That was awful.
So, I mean, that was all on Packers. The other problem they're having, they're not firing on all cylinders, but Arvidsson, man, he is just pressing so hard. He is, the puck comes nearing, and he is just spraying it all over the place, and they're not even close to going in. He either needs to be with Joey and Forsberg, or he probably needs to sit a game or two, or maybe go on a checking line and play penalty kill and cut his ice time down for a game or two. Because right now, I mean, he's like a scorer in basketball who gets cold, and he's just jacking up off balance three pointers as soon as he touches the
Scott,
ball. He's
big
just
picture with this team.
All over the place.
Scott, big picture with this team. Does that really matter? I mean, is Arvidsson like the difference between what the Predators are and what they should be?
You see Forsberg get hot. You see Tolvanen is finally starting to show some of his promise. You see Josi playing really well. You see, you know, a group of guys get hot and going, and then there's another group of guys who are just crap in the bed. So
I feel like you are really looking at this from the micro, Scott. Thank you for your call, Scott. I think you're just dissecting this at the micro level, and when I'm talking about these kind of decisions, I mean, when you're talking about changing general managers and changing coaches, that isn't so much a micro level, unless you screw up a quarterback. You know, I mean, if you screw up the quarterback or you're the Texans, you know, that is when that one thing kind of matters. But as far as, you know, well, Pekka let a couple under last night and that was what did him in. And, you know, Arvidsson needs to be benched for a couple of games. And, okay, then explain to me why right now when I look at the forward lines, the guy I trust the most right now outside of Forsberg is Calle Järnkrok. And this is no disrespect to Cali, but like this is a 3-year trend. These are macro decisions now; they're not micro decisions. You know, married couple, husband and a wife, and the husband runs. They have a family business. The wife owns the business. The husband runs the day-to-day operations. The things the husband is concerned about are not a concern of that to the wife at the macro level. And so, you know, Arvidsson slumping right now, like pile that onto the list of things that are issues right now. But it's not to me right now, that is below what we need to be addressing, what we need to be looking at. Texter texts in and says, if you want to cut the cord with David Poile and they should at the end of the season, are we going to let him make decisions with this roster now, knowing that we won't hold on to him after the season? How does that work? Does ownership get more involved with making roster decisions on Poile's behalf? I cannot tell you how ownership interacts with David Poile. That is, you know, we're talking about, you know, the what's above my pay grade, below my pay grade. That is above my pay grade. I do not know how ownership interacts with Poile. I do think if ownership says, dude, we got to sell, I think then he turns around and says, okay, we got to sell. Because everybody's got a boss. And that's his boss. Texter Brian says, would be good to see some new coaches come up from the AHL. I don't care where you get a coach. Just get me a good coach. That's all I want. I just want a good coach. That's all I'm saying. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. There's another J.J. Watt report that's out. Yesterday, it was J.J.'s already got an offer for $15 or $16 million. Well, apparently that seems to have changed. And I think as we talk about trends, we should keep an eye on this one too. Stillman and Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We are delivered by TriStar Moving. Hey, Smashville Live every Wednesday during the hockey season right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday during the season and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. We have also gone virtual, so you can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to thegamenashville.com/SmashvilleLive.